Hey guys, it's Tiffany from Tiffany Makes Music. Today is an exciting episode because I'm here with my friend Ben Mekas, who was a co-worker of mine in my first teaching job. And Ben is not just a music teacher, however, he runs his own music production company. He is a production manager at his church, and he also plays in a band, which is just really cool. So I hope you enjoy this episode. If you do, I would request leaving a rating over on Apple Podcasts if you so desire. That just helps more people discover this podcast. And with all that being said, let's go ahead and play the recording. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode. I am here with my good friend Ben Mekas, or as the children like to say, Mr. Mises, Mr. Macaroni, Mr. Is that still happening?
That hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah. So, Ben was a coworker of mine for a couple of years in my first teaching job. So, if you listen to my first episode of this podcast where I talk about what a wild ride that first year was, Ben was right there and witnessed many a crisis moment in that year.
I got a front row seat.
Yeah, frequent earfuls, like after band class. I'd just be like, Ben, what even just happened? Is this okay? And you were just like, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
So, I don't know. That year was wild. Anyway, but that's not really what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Ben, because Ben is, I find his career so interesting. And there's actually a lot about what you do that I don't really know or understand. So I'm excited to kind of dig into that today. Ben is a career musician, but not with like your traditional like 4-year degree path going orchestral route or music ed route. He does a lot of things. So can you break down what your work life is?
Yeah. I can kind of break it down in what takes the most time. So Church. I'm a music director at Tab Church. And I've recently been, I guess, upgraded to essentially the production manager. But essentially what I do at Tab, I'm a music director, which is a fancy term for a worship leader who can't sing. Which is the truth. I can't sing. We have to hire leaders left and right just because I can't carry. Well, it's not a good voice. At least I know it. I'm happy about that. But I'll put together the volunteers, train them, audition them.
You're really selling yourself here, Ben.
I am. I'll get the job done, kind of. That's what I'm here for. But yeah, I just manage the volunteers, the tech, the rehearsals, all music direct. So a lot of the worship leader we just technically hired, which is news. By the way, we hired a worship leader.
Ah.
Yeah, which is because we've been juggling a couple of great leaders, but we've kind of locked in on one that's been able to commit to us, which is good. Because that makes my job easier.
That
I get
is
some
really
consistency.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's been nice. So I've kind of stepped in the role of just making sure everyone knows how to run a Sunday, especially with COVID and all this virtual stuff. We got a lot of streaming tech that needs to be known how to operate. So that I've kind of taken over that with the production or production director title. So that's one of my gigs.
I feel like your church really appreciated you during that transition, because I think I watched a part of a stream and your pastor was like, you know, Ben Mekas is really just taking care of it. And I'm like, yes, go Ben. I feel like that's
what we
all say. Like, that's your role in life, Ben, is like, Ben Mekas is taking care of it. Because I feel like Claudia said that all through. Our boss in the fine arts team said that all through virtual learning. Because you just have, like, another level of technology skills that the rest of us do not. So,
but I really, the interesting thing is I really don't. I think the only thing I feel like I'm pretty good at is Googling. Like, I'm a really great Googler. So I'm able to find answers to stuff. So half the time I have an unnecessary amount of confidence, but I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm just Googling it as I go. So that's like, that's my life motto. Just search engines for life.
Just Google it.
Yeah, just Google it. I'll figure it out. Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. So church job and then...
And then I guess Norfolk Christian would be after that. I'm the drumline instructor at Norfolk Christian, which has slowly become a bigger and bigger position. It used to just be a extracurricular activity that a student could sign up for, which then turned into an elective that you could sign up for as a sixth and seventh grader. And now it's sixth and seventh grade drumlines by semester, so they can only take it half the year. So I have 2 sixth grade drumlines in a year, 2 seventh grade drumlines in a year, an eighth grade audition only honors drumline, and then the high school ambassador drumline. So I have 6 drumlines in a year, which is crazy. That's a lot of drumlines.
Yeah.
But it's super fun. I enjoy doing that. It's kind of cool. Kind of working on, I guess, my roots since I'd started as a drummer. It's kind of fun to instill that in some younger generations. So that's gig number 2.
Yeah. And also I feel like, you've got to talk about how that all kind of started, because you didn't just become the drumline instructor. Like, there is a history there.
So they started the drumline program in my seventh grade year. So I'm an alumni at Norfolk Christian, class of 2015. And me and my buddy Yanni, who was growing up together, we were big into drums, and the band director at the time saw that, so he was like, let's start a drumline. So the Bible teacher there was had a history on the Cavaliers, which is a drum corps international group. So he said, I'll teach it. David Ewens.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I think he's out in Pennsylvania now, but no, he was my first drum instructor too. So
okay.
He played a big role in all this.
I did not know he was the Bible teacher. I love it. That's just classic private school. It's just like, I'll do that. Yeah, sure.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. So that went through all of high school, swapping out directors a lot of the time. Yanni and I kept doing it. And then by senior year, they couldn't, I guess they didn't want to hire a director, or I don't know what happened. I think they saw that Yanni and I could lead it if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. So we did. We led the drum line, still extracurricular. It was pretty
while
fun.
While you were a student.
To have a bunch of underclassmen join the drumline, then we got to teach it as seniors, so that was fun.
Yeah.
But then when I graduated in 2015, they turned around and asked me if I wanted to keep teaching the drumline, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it for a little until you find an instructor. And here we are, like 5 years later, and I'm still teaching it.
And it's just continued to like evolve and develop. And did you ever? I mean, I guess you couldn't have anticipated that, really.
No, but it's never... This is what I always tell Miss Noctegal when she asks me at the end of the year. He's like, all right, so are you coming back? And I really have never had a reason to leave. It's never demanded too much time. It's never gotten in the way of anything. And it's been fun. And they treat me great. I feel completely fairly compensated. So I have no reason to leave every time that question comes up.
Yeah.
So I feel like I could be doing this a while.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So that's how I know you. And tell me job number 3.
All right, job number 3 is a weird one because it's kind of an umbrella of a lot of things that I'm trying to focus.
It's your most creative job.
Yeah, Own It Music is a business of sorts that I started. It's a music production company. And like if you asked me last year, it would consist of anything from music directing for special events, putting together special ensembles for events, DJing events, but primarily, and this was the starting goal and the end goal, but to produce music. And a music producer, for those of you who may know what it is.
I feel like it's a really broad term.
It's an individual that...
Like, nobody really knows what it nails down to, so...
Yeah, it is a weirdly broad term, because there's a music engineer, which kind of falls under that. There's a mastering engineer, there's songwriters, but the music producer oversees all those elements and kind of tries to connect the dots into creating a well-produced song. So, with music producing comes writing, so I'll write some songs for artists, or I'll write a course or a hook and they'll send it out to a label or something that I think might fit well with an artist they have. And then there's engineering itself, which I've been really developing recently, so that way I can take on my own artists. And that's all the, like the weird math and science of music production, but more so just trusting your ears and knowing what you're looking for. And then there's mastering, which kind of falls under the engineering side too. So there's a lot of things that go into that, but that's something I really, really enjoy doing. Having an artist come to the studio and then we start from scratch with an idea they have. We try to develop it into a more concrete idea, something that's cohesive, easy to follow, fun to listen to, and something we're excited about. Then we get to tracking, engineering, sourcing, mixing, mastering, and a lot of editing in there too. But yeah, no, that's what Own It Music, which is my company name. That's the starting goal. That's the end goal, is to be in music production. So that's job number three, which is slowly taking more and more time. It's interesting because Norfolk Christian and Tab, like, their hours never really differ. I mean, maybe Tab, if I have to train a bunch of volunteers in a week, then that'll be a lot more. But as Own It gets busier, then it's just stacking on top of that. So it kind of gets like, I'll have like a 60 or 80 hour work week, which is great, but I still don't want to drop any of the other two. So I'm kind of at that point where I gotta figure some stuff out, as Own It's kind of picking up, but we'll
see.
That's
cool though.
Yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. It's fun for sure.
Mm-hmm. So you're in your studio right now.
I am, yes. I just renovated it thanks to COVID. I got some free time.
That's good. So you get to like bring people in and it like you record in your studio. So
yeah, so I'll have
a good space.
Yeah. So I'll have a wide variety of artists in here, from rock bands to singer songwriters to acoustic acts, and then to voice actors. We actually have some voice actors that come in here as well. So that's fun.
Nice. Cool. So can you talk about the networking aspect of all of this? Like, how did you start and where are your connections? Because that stuff always really interests me.
Yeah. So it's really weird because I think all the music industry is someone saying they know someone and then nothing happening with it. So I always don't like, I never like drop like name dropping because like, I know so-and-so and they're like, wow, he's a big deal. But no, I haven't done anything with that person, but I know of him and we've talked before, but he's not going to like hook me up with the label deal. But all the production stuff I've gotten has been, you know, just word of mouth, like, hey, so-and-so did this project with me. This element of it sounds really good. Do you want to talk to him about how he did it? And the other thing is these artists and producers are so accessible. Like, it's almost scary. Like, if you can talk the language, then they kind of open right up to you and talk to you. Like, they kind of nerd out with you for a little on, like, what gear or what vocal chain they used on this song. So, honestly, the community of, like, music producers, the people that are in the background of what's happening in the music industry, honestly, are just a bunch of fun nerds to hang out with. So it's almost
awesome.
Easy to access them, which is fun.
Yeah.
So a lot of that's just through artists I've worked with.
Yeah. Cool. When was the moment when you thought, you know what, this is what I'm going to do? Like, this is going to be a business for me. How did you kind of go? Did it start after high school or were you in high school?
Yeah. So it started a little bit in the senior year of high school. You know, plan A was the Air Force Academy, but then I realized I just wasn't that good at school. And then I really enjoyed music. And kind of got into doing music for some people's like videos just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it started senior year of high school. I started getting jobs making music for little commercials, little ads, like little Facebook stuff that would run around. But I think, yeah, senior year when you're kind of forced to, oh, I got to pick what I want to do with my life now. You're kind of thrown straight into that. All my friends knew it.
And I'm 18 years old.
Yeah. So that kind of comes at you pretty quick. And I decided, you know, this is something I really, really enjoy doing. So I'm going to pursue this, which meant a lot of work because I wasn't planning on attending a college. So that meant I needed to stay on top of my time or else, you know, this would be lost time.
Yeah.
Not with a degree. So I needed to try to get whatever experience and training and certificates I could just as a freelance musician. So I used that time right after high school to just dive in to learning whatever internship I could take, whatever mentorship, whoever would talk to me on hands-on training, whatever master class I could take. So I just kind of dedicated all that time to it and slowly just kind of fell more in love with it. So it was a fun little combo. So I think, yeah, later in high school, maybe midway through senior year, I made the decision it's happening.
Yeah. What, how did your family or your parents particularly, because isn't your dad like a NASA
Oh
scientist
my
or
goodness. My
something?
dad is a rocket scientist at
Was he
NASA.
a big, like, you are
Oh my
going to
goodness. Yeah, no, he's a
college?
math whiz.
Literally a rocket scientist.
Yeah, he I don't know. He definitely thought it's interesting. My parents are very, very supportive of this whole concept. But they definitely wanted me to go to college. They would tell you that. So they were like, "Okay, we'll
Okay,
give him a
yeah.
gap year." That's what they called it, a gap year.
Oh
Everyone
boy.
takes a gap year.
You're still in that gap
So
year.
I'm still gapping. Yeah, I'm just waiting for
Yeah.
acceptance letters. But yeah, they allowed me a gap year. And they saw that I was pretty active during the gap year. And then that I
Yeah.
actually found some jobs that would cover me. Basic whatever your expenses are when you live at home, which is just nothing. So,
Not a lot when you're 18 and you live with your parents.
Yeah, no, it's
Yeah.
great. Honestly, I wish I could go back. Those were some good days.
I think when I first met you were just moving out.
Yes. Yeah, it was September of when you came, I think. I like just moved out
Yeah.
with some dudes in a duplex.
Literally down the
Yeah, so that
street.
was I think as time went on in my endless gap year, they slowly started realizing, I'm starting to actually pick up work. So that's all they wanted. They just wanted to see me busy. They didn't want to see me doing nothing.
Yeah.
So
And it sounds like you were really driven.
I lucked out with that, honestly. But yeah, I think I'm very blessed because they backed me up and they pushed me like, "Hey, keep going, keep going. Anytime you're not working, the
That's
other guy
good.
is."
That's
So
true.
keep going. So
Huh.
that's been kind of fun.
There's the tweetable statement. Anytime you're not working, the other guy is.
Yeah, but that one will mess you up too, because then there's always like self-care, and I'm like, ah, no, the other guy's not doing it.
Yeah,
But
so I guess
whatever.
now you're at the crossroads of like, where is my balance, between all of it?
Yeah, that's in fact, that's like something new this year. I haven't had
Yeah,
to
it
worry
sounds
about
new.
that until this year, and I'm still like dealing with it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, what to do. I mean, I'm married. We love to travel. So
Yeah.
what we'll do, since she's doing full-time school and full-time work, so she's kind of kicking it
Oh
too.
my
So we're both
gosh.
grinding right now.
Yeah.
So it's a busy season for us both. But I do know, like, when she wraps up, this is her last semester, we're gonna want to spend some time together. So I think at that point, I'm gonna need to either cut my hours on something or let go of something. But I'm still trying to figure that out. So
Yeah.
we'll see.
Are you prepared for that to be in this podcast?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'm still rethinking it though.
Yeah, he's not making any declarations.
Yeah, no declarations, but yeah,
Yeah,
I'll just leave it
we'll
there.
leave it there. Yeah, it makes sense though, but that's really cool because that means your business is growing and changing. I see some of the stuff you put out. Talk about your band. We haven't gone there yet.
The band, it's because that's the funniest little outlet for me. At the
Yeah.
end of the day, like I still, and you probably got into music because it's fun and it's something you feel good doing, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that band, it's so funny because I part of me really wants to go music producer on them and be like, "Hey, this is what we should do to be successful." But
Yeah.
they're honestly just a bunch of hooligans. They're musical hooligans. Like, we ain't picking a genre. We're about to release a single like a couple weeks from now. That's like this weird pop reggae mashup. And
Yeah.
if you listen to our earlier stuff, it's all like almost outlaw country rock with
Yeah.
electronic influence. It's the weirdest stuff ever,
There's a
but it's a
lot meshed
fun group.
around. Yeah. So when did
Oh
that
yeah.
start? So Ben's band is called Every King Commoner. I won't say the
Yes.
many different names it's been called at our work,
Oh
place of
yes.
work. People will misname it and I just die every time. Like all
It's great.
American commoners and every king that are
for king and commoner country. I'm like, oh no. I felt bad. We once went to Indiana, and this little girl was like, for king and country's here? And I was like, oh no.
Sorry.
It's just us. Yeah, so that man started, me and a friend of mine, I'm not going to drop a name of our first group because it's terribly embarrassing material that we released together, but
we'll keep that behind.
You could find it with some searching, but essentially we were jamming. We just wanted to have a musical outlet where we just did whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And then we realized, this isn't, it's not going too good. We need to get a vocalist and maybe do something so we can actually play shows. And then comes Cody to my church. He was one of the part-time worship leaders, like I was talking about earlier.
Okay.
Cool. He has a phenomenal voice. Mm-hmm. Actually was on The Voice, the show not too long ago. He was one person from auditioning before teams filled up.
No.
Which is a bummer. So you wouldn't have seen him on TV.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But he was set up to go, which was cool. But he's got a great voice. Mm-hmm. And we had some random members kind of cycle through, but it ended up being my friend Andrew Freck, me, and Cody Christian is his name, as the mm-hmm. main three. And then my buddy Yanni, who I was talking about earlier, finally graduated from this college thing is, and then he came over and started playing with us, and he's a phenomenal drummer. I will admit that college did him good. He's a fantastic drummer.
Do you know if he got a performance degree? Is that his degree?
He had music. Well, this is funny. He has a music production major
with
a minor on music performance with a drum focus, I think is how it was titled.
Wow, that's a title. That's a mouthful. That sounds about right, though. That sounds like Yanni.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best drummer I know. He's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So it's fun, us four. We love playing live, and we take those shows seriously, but we have way too much fun with them. If y'all ever want to come out to a Every King and Commoner show.
Yes. I remember, the first time I heard you guys was 2 years ago at school.
Oh, yeah.
You played something for the school. The Gala with the Hunts. So the Hunts is another band that's local to us. I guess they're not. Would you call that a local band?
They're from, when you use the word local band,
our town.
It kind of sounds like,
but they're not really like a local band.
Yeah, no, they're pretty big. I mean, they played Red Rocks a couple times and toured, the country a good bit. So I wouldn't call them local, but they're local to us. Like, they're from around here.
Yeah. Wording is important.
Yeah,
they're like, this local band. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not it. All right, this is the awkward pause that I edit out later.
I don't know how you do this. This is crazy. I'm more nervous than I thought I'd be.
That's so funny.
And then I feel like there's a delay when you talk, so then I just feel like I'm talking over you, and I'm like...
There is a big delay. I don't know why, but it exists. Oh, well.
Yeah. It sounds like the debates. I'm just keep blabbing. That shouldn't go in there, probably. I don't know.
I did not watch the debate because I just was aware that it was going to be the WWE grand match of all. It's just, our country's a mess, Ben.
I watched the debates for I don't know, it was maybe 15 minutes, but I'll tell you who did watch the debates. Every single one of my students.
Oh, my
and they all
gosh.
Had something to say about it.
But that says something, because they are children.
I know.
And
we are
adults, and we don't want to watch the debates because they are more entertaining for children.
I guess so at this point.
At this point. Like, it's not really, we're not really getting anywhere. We're just watching people yell at each other.
Yeah. Reality TV, except it's our country. I heard one guy who said he was laughing. He said he was laughing at the debates, and then he was like, wait, this is our country?
Yeah, like, oh. Yikes, right? It's like, all right, it's like we have The Voice, we have Dancing with the Stars, we have the presidential debates. Like, that's what it feels like, except way worse because actual implications.
Yeah, it's not as scripted. Maybe they should script the debates. I don't know. That's a thought.
Moderator says, do not interrupt me. You know what? That's what bugs me the most, is so much disrespect to the moderator. I'm like, can we
the
all
just... The poor guy.
This is terrible. I saw a quote somewhere that was like, I am the moderator of this debate. And I'm like, you know, I just am so glad I was not watching it. I just was very glad to avoid that last night. Was it last night? 2 nights ago? Yeah.
No, it was last night, yeah. Because my students were ready. It was chapel day too, so we had chapel, and then it was time to small group conversation. It was just debates, unless we came to the table, you know.
Do you have a small group now?
So this is interesting. Second block is in charge of showing their class the chapel, and it's a virtual pre-recorded YouTube link. And then we have to run a small group time, a conversation time afterwards. Which is its own thing. Huh. So it's kind of like that flex time, but it's like small group time.
Okay, so you have your second block for like,
I mean, I think that's what we're supposed to be doing.
I think that's what's going on. That's just like classic COVID teaching.
Oh my goodness, it's so long. Yeah, it's a good bit.
That's like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's something. Honestly, anyone who's teaching right now, I got major respect for. It's a crazy time. This is hybrid stuff.
It really is. So our chorus teacher told me that, your chorus teacher, past tense, I don't work there, she's still our chorus teacher.
I know, that makes me sad though.
I know, but it's still fun because I still get to connect with people, and I'm like, oh yeah, I am not there. Anyway, our course teacher told me that you guys tried this like hybrid method for a little bit and then tossed it out the window.
Oh yeah, yeah, it was something, because it was they were like upgrading the internet, so like ideally you would think, hey, let's set up a Chromebook and let's live stream when I start my class, so I just am teaching once, right? And then I'll upload whatever material, like scan it. Like, that would have been simple. But since, I guess, the internet wasn't installed, like, good enough, fast enough. Like, they have it now. It's complete. But we had to record it and then upload it later with content and then create the class in what they call Schoology now, which is... It's actually... Schoology is really cool. But essentially, you had to operate... We had to operate a online class at the same time as an in-person class. And honestly, when it comes to people who have already written out their curriculum, have all their tests and quizzes built, it's just a lot of importing and like weird grading and then translating from, you know, analog to digital. I don't know. I feel like that's just an audio term. But paper to electronic stuff.
Well, it's because my dad's an audio engineer, but I'm like, I know what that means. My dad says that all the time.
I know. I need to talk to your dad at some point.
Yeah. The podcast does not know.
I don't think I've ever met him.
You haven't. But my dad is an audio engineer. Now you know.
I know.
He works for a company now. Like, for years he did like live mixing and stuff, and recording stuff. But now he does system design. So
yeah, like installs and whatnot.
So he designs those, and like his job looks so complicated to me.
Yeah, because so, he's measuring walls, the density, and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's very engineer. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah.
He has a math and science.
He has an engineering associate's degree. So it all kind of, it plays in. It's funny. Yeah. My dad was kind of similar to you in that he didn't like have the traditional college thing, but he did start college and then he got offered a full-time job and he quit college like in his first semester. And he's always like tried to go back, but then just work becomes too crazy. And so he's got all these credits from all these different colleges I mean, they all play into what he does and it helps him, but yeah, non-traditional audio route. So.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Anyway, somehow we got on to talking about my dad.
There we go.
There we go. And that is a wrap for today's episode of Tiffany Makes Music with guest Ben Meckes. I hope you'll remember to go follow Ben over on Instagram. His personal page is Ben Meckes. His professional page for his production company is Own It Music Studios. And his band's page is Every King and Commoner. So there's a lot of places you can find him. Check out his music. It's a good time. I'm just gonna say recommend. So I hope you do that. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram. And Ben and I will see you again next week for a fun conversation all about life. And you'll just have to find out the rest. See you then.